Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 270. It is the week of March 8th, 2019. Thanks for coming along. If you're a new listener, I appreciate you checking out the show. Make sure you go to ashlyndave.podbean.com and check out lots of older episodes that are available there that might not be available on the iTunes feed if that's how you got this show. And I would especially like to thank all the returning listeners who have come back for yet another episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave. I'm coming at you from the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, Central Virginia. This episode will be about the Little Rock Marathon that I ran on March 3rd, just a few days ago. And I'm right back into training mode because I'm got my 100-mile attempt coming up late April. So I ran the marathon Sunday, took off. I was pretty sore on Monday, and I'll explain why. And as the podcast goes on, I got a lot of sound bites too. And I got a huge email bag also. Make sure you stand by, stick around for that. Down Under Dave, Dr. Smitty, Shelly, Alex, Thomas, Tim, Keith Mason. And I might throw in a couple emails from Sandy in there, although I'm going to talk about her. She completed her 50th state down at the Little Rock Marathon, and I'll give some statistics about that, which are really interesting. However, I took off Monday and Tuesday of this week after the marathon, and it started right back up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, did 7.75, did 5 this morning. My 2 7-milers were exercises and advanced power walking skills. I wanted to see how long it took me to power walk 7 miles, and it took about an hour and 45 minutes. So it looks like I can walk. I can't walk 4 miles an hour. I think it took me an hour and 5 or 6 minutes to walk 4 miles, something like that. I can't remember exact. All I know is I couldn't do 4 miles in an hour walking pretty brisk. And this is all for practice for the 100-mile attempt, because there'll be a lot of walking in that. So I was kind of curious what my walking rate was with just straight walking without putting the running in there. And I count all the mileage that I cover, especially as brisk as I was trying to walk. And then Thursday, my 7 mile, I got a little messed up because I ran into some buddies from work and ended up talking to them in a parking lot for about 10 minutes near the gym where I work out. But I did walk. It was a good brisk walk, and it felt good. And then I ran today, and then I'll do 18 and then 14 for the weekend. So I got a pretty action packed weekend planned. I'll run with Ash and Bob Saturday morning. But the Little Rock Marathon was a success, and I really, really enjoyed it. It was, I'm not even sure what number marathon that was for me. I'm going to check on that. Okay, so it was my 36th marathon. I had to pull up my spreadsheet here. And what's interesting to me when I was looking at my list that I keep, that was my first regular length marathon since 2013, when I ran the Richmond Marathon at 4:37. In between, I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 ultras, and that's all I've been doing. I remember remarking to Sandy after the race saying, I think that was the first marathon I've done in several years. Because I really got into the 50K and the 50-mile distance, which I really, really like because it's a lot less people, and it's a different kind of feeling for me, and that's just what I'm interested in. I got nothing against the marathon. I've run a lot of them, and I like it, and I had a great time at the Little Rock Marathon. But anyway, that's my first marathon in almost 6 years, which is kind of interesting. And my 8th state. I'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. So my finishing time was 4:38:31. The timing company sent my wife Monica was following, had signed up to follow my notifications, I guess, through the timing mats. And got sent a screenshot at the end, and it said the distance was 26.6 miles. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And I recall my Garmin clicking off well before I got to the first mile, and it did that for each one. And then Sandy told me her Garmin was, 26.49. I know Garmins aren't completely accurate. The courses, for the most part, are. And it's the way they measure it with the tangents through the curves. However, I thought that was a little weird how it was possibly 0.4 miles longer. There's no way, I mean, the road wasn't but so wide, and I didn't go off the course. I only went to the bathroom one time, and the port-a-john was right next to the course. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and it is a Boston qualifier, so hopefully nobody did not get it because the course was maybe long. I'm not sure. I don't know how long the course was. All I know is what my Garmin measured it as, and then I can talk to somebody else. And that's actually what was sent. I guess the weird thing was the chips on the back of the bib had some kind of tracking on them, because when we downloaded the Little Rock Marathon app, or at least my wife did, and the chip was showing us in the hotel, which was kind of weird. And I don't know how something so small could have a could transmit out. I'm not sure. I don't know how that technology works, but I thought it was kind of interesting. And anyway, so 36 marathon, cold rain at the start, some sleet at one point, and I was in shorts, but I had gloves and a jacket, and I had gloves. I was not prepared for the gloves. I needed some better gloves. I brought some throwaway gloves, and in hindsight, I should have just brought some different ones that were better, and then just found a way to save those. But I do have a couple audio clips here, which let's check one of those out. It's about 7:30, walking to the start of the race from the hotel, which is only 5 minutes walk. It's hardly sprinkling. Forecast yesterday was rain. Now it looks like some sprinkles and then possible snow flurries around 10 a.m. But the temperatures are not going to get much below 40. 39, I think, is the forecast. So I'm feeling pretty good. Excited. So the race start was at 8 o'clock. And since my hotel was so close to the start, there was no reason at all for me to go down much earlier than I did. So I strolled on down there. It started right along the Arkansas River behind what's called this State House Convention Center. Everything about Little Rock, Arkansas was cool. That was actually my second time to Arkansas. I'd never been to Little Rock. And so I get in my corral, which was D, and I started to make a decision on if I was going to go with a pace group or not. So let's check out the next sound clip.
So I'm lining up in the 440 pace, behind the 440 pace guys, just because that's just an estimate. I really ought to be back at the 445 probably, or maybe in 5 hours. But I'll start here and see how it progresses. A few minutes until the race starts, 7:56 a.m. Pretty good crowd vibe out here. There's obviously you can hear the music. Everybody's real excited, and there's no rain. It's awesome. It's pretty cold, though. All right, I'm not going anywhere. I'm D Corral, so we're still standing in place. But it's the excitement out here is really cool. I haven't run a regular marathon in quite some time. I can't even remember the last one I ran.
So, yeah, that's your typical start of a race, you know, the countdown, the excitement, all that. I really had a good time at the start. I just felt like I was going to have a good day, and I did. It was a good day. It really was. But it's always interesting when you're somewhere else and you know absolutely nobody. I mean, I know somebody at some race that I go to. I'm either with somebody I know or I run into somebody. And I didn't see Sandy because she had an early start, and I did not see anybody. We had a Saturday night dinner with her group before the race. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I knew nobody, saw nobody, so it was just I was just kind of with myself, and so that's why I did a little talking to myself in those sound bites. So the next one is fast forward up to the 5 mile mark. I had a great start to the race, felt fine. I was in a great mood, and I really never had any mental problems. I never hit a wall or anything. Just had a great time. So fast forward up to 5 miles, and I want to talk a little bit about the Saturday night dinner with some of Sandy's friends.
All right, 5 hours or 5 miles in. 5.2 for 4 minutes. Feeling pretty good. Feeling a little bit of a run walk. Right now I'm just ahead of the 440 Pacers. Just to kind of give myself a general idea of where I am. But I'm not going to sweat it.
So yeah, started with the 440 Pacers. It was two guys, one named Ryan, the other guy's name was Suman. They were very, very funny at the start. I did not interact with them at the start. I just kind of lined up and watched them. They were just, you know, cutting up and stuff. And so that was just kind of my base time. So I got up ahead of them pretty far, you know, at one point, maybe 100 yards. I kept checking over my shoulder. So I'd run up ahead, and then that way I could do a little bit of walking here and there through the water stops. Of course, eventually they caught me, and then I stayed with them, and that became pretty challenging. But let me talk a little bit about running into Sandy and her husband Eric down there. The whole reason I went to run this marathon was to support Sandy when she finished her 50th state, and she finished. So she has now done a marathon in every state, which is pretty remarkable. But her getting to that point was difficult. The week before, her husband had broke his leg in a spiral type of way. And so he was, he traveled down there, but he couldn't really partake in some of the socializing because he was in a huge cast and he was on a little scooter and he was on pain medication. But he came down there to support his wife, which was real cool. And that was the whole, and then Sandy had been suffering from tendonitis in her knee. So she actually had to walk, do an early start in order for her to get her 50th state. She was going to have to walk most of the marathon. So she did a 6 a.m. start. And I did see her at one point along the course that was a long out and back. And we had kind of joked the night before of the race that if I ran 4:30, I might actually be able to catch up to her and finish with her, because she had to run a strict 6:30, which was one of the rules for starting early for the pace group she was involved with. It was a little unclear to me, but she was going to be doing a 6:30. 6 hours, 30 minutes. So yeah, there was the possibility if I could have run a 4:30 had I started right at 8 o'clock, you know, and been able to catch up with her, but that didn't happen. But I did see her on the course, and she was kind of chugging along, doing a little bit of running when I saw her. She had a challenge getting down there, but we weren't going to miss this at all. We've gotten to know Sandy and her husband, Eric, over the years. I've been up there to visit them when I did the ultra up in Michigan, and they've been through here, Ashland, the center of the universe, through some of their travels, and we've met out for a beer. And it was just a really, really cool experience to be there and celebrate with her. So the night before the race, we went to a place called Damn Good Pies. It was a pizza restaurant, but they also had other stuff there. And the group, we met for breakfast that morning, just the four of us, and then we had made plans to meet later. And Sandy had some friends from a apparel. She's an ambassador for an apparel running apparel company, and so she's met several people through that. And so she was meeting up with some other ladies, and we were all going to meet for dinner. And that group ballooned to, I think, 12 or 15 people when it was all said and done. And some of those folks were, let me see if I can get their names here. They're from all over the country. Some were acquaintances with Sandy or friends of a friend kind of thing. So we had June from Minneapolis. He's on his second time going through the 50 states. Had Ramon out of Little Rock, Amy out of Texas, Gigi out of Chicago, Carolyn and Lee out of Boston, Mark and Deborah out of Hamilton, Massachusetts. Mary out of Cleveland, Ohio. She's another ambassador with the apparel company. Amy from Green Bay, Wisconsin. And there's another Amy. Amy May from Texas was doing the Angeles Angels, where she pushes somebody in a wheelchair. I had Christy out of Duluth, Minnesota. And let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13, it was 15 people, including my wife and Sandy and Eric. And so it was really cool just to, all these people were there to support Sandy. And it was just a really neat night at this restaurant, you know, to meet these people. And we got to sit near Sandy, so we got to talk to her because we didn't know anybody else. And actually, Eric was not able to make that because of his leg. So it was really cool just to meet up before there. You know, we had gone to the expo earlier on. It was a like an alien theme to the race, which was kind of weird. There was this guy wearing an alien outfit, and was called the theme of the race was kind of race odyssey, not space odyssey, but race odyssey. And from what I'm told, the Little Rock organizers changed the theme each year, which is really cool. The finishing medal was absolutely huge, bigger than I was expecting. I knew that this was one of the biggest race finishing medals, and I think there's a I think it's Cowtown, and which is January 1st in Texas, that has a real big medal too, and I guess competes to see who has the biggest medal with Little Rock. But I was not expecting it to be so darn huge. The only bad thing about it is it's got glitter on it. And if you've listened to previous podcasts, you know how I feel about glitter. I really wonder what is it good for. But the medal was really cool. I've already got it hanging in my garage, and it kind of covers a lot of the other medals that I have in there. So I might have to put it in the back. So let's get back to the race. There's some other sound clips that I wanted to share. So let's check out the next one.
Miles in, starting to sleep. 10:15. It's now sleeting. Gotten a little colder. Feeling all right.
Now, I think I remember that being coming back across the Arkansas River. The race crosses the Arkansas River twice, obviously. Because it crosses from Little Rock into North Little Rock, which is apparently a separate city on the other side of the Arkansas River. And then it comes back, and that's when it started sleeting. But at first, it almost seemed like it was white pieces of tiny white pieces of circular styrofoam falling from the top of this bridge, because it seemed so light and it wasn't really bouncing. And then somebody told me later that they thought that was hail. It was sleet. I was glad I had a bill to the front of my hat, so it wasn't hitting me in the face. And then after a while, it just kind of stopped, but the wind picked up, and the wind made it pretty cold out there. I kept my jacket on for almost the whole race. I discarded it, I think, after mile 20. It was one of those jackets that we got at Goodwill, and I'm surprised I ran in it for so long. So that's at the 12.6 mile mark. Let's check out the next one.
All right. I'm going to be halfway in 2:19. So I better slow it down. No sense. No sense in this.
So what I said there was that I really needed to slow down. I made it the halfway mark. 13.1 was at 2 hours 19 minutes, which was right on for 4:40. As long as you could run, you know, an even effort the whole rest of the way, which is hard to do. I always thought of the later miles in a race when they get longer. Those are exponentially harder to do. It's not it's not the same. Oh, you just have to do the first thing, have to run 13.2 again. I said no, but it's exponentially harder. And then my last comment there was that this makes no sense. I don't know why I determined all of a sudden on that race morning that it was going to be my personal challenge to run under 4:40. I just wanted to see if I could do it, and I did it. I mean, I ran under that, and I'll tell you what happened at the end. The Pacers, there was only a couple of us left with the Pacers, and they told everybody, hey, if you got anything left, just go ahead and run up ahead, and that way you can come in before 4:40, which I thought was pretty cool. So let's check out the next one.
I call this magic mile run.
All right, just past mile 18, 3 hours 11 minutes. So I'm with the 440 pace group. He's telling a story.
This is called magic mile. You when you come out of the other side of this 3 miles.
Well, that was difficult to hear, but that was one of the Pacers named Suman talking about how I think 18 to 19 was called the magic mile, and then you only have five to go. I wasn't really picking up on what he was saying, but it kind of dawned on me later that he was kind of talking to some people in the group that I think this was their first marathon. And so he was trying to just to break it down where they don't get overwhelmed at the 20-mile mark or hit the wall or anything. We were on this nice downhill at this point in time, and he was carrying a speaker on his waist pack in the back. And what he did is that then Ryan, the other pacer, Bluetooth into that speaker, and Ryan was playing music by request through whatever he was getting his music from on his device, and it was Bluetooth into Suman's speaker. And at that point, I wanted to stay with that group because I wanted to come in at that time. And at this point, I was up at mile 18 past that, and I was kind of already invested into it, so I wanted to see if I could do it. You know, could I hold on at that point in the race, when it really gets hard and make that and stay at that pace. And they just kept putting these songs on that was louder than whatever I could listen to on my iPod. So I just put the iPod away and just assimilated into the group and had a great end of the race. It was really a lot of fun, and those guys just kept it lively. I think Ryan has done well over 100 marathons, and he's I think in late 30s, and Suman was the same age as me. All right, let's check out the next one.
I'm out 20, 33, 10. Just saw Sandy on going inbound. So she's around mile 23, I think.
Y'all are doing great.
I'm not sure if I'll catch up to her or not. It's interesting to see because we haven't gone on the turnaround yet. All right, mile 23.
This feels good, doesn't this little spot here?
It's nice.
Every year it's like hot.
4:25. Yeah, 10 seconds. 4:25. All right.
3:22 to go. All right,
mile 24.
Mile 24, y'all.
We got one more mile to go. 4:15.
Yeah.
4:16 even.
Mile 24.
Yeah, baby. Woo. Mile 24. Less than a 5K.
Yeah.
Kick ass, baby.
Yeah.
2:22 to go.
Can see some of the enthusiasm there with some of the people that were I was hanging out with there, and it was fun. I mean, I'm so glad I stayed with those pacers. They kept it really lively. There was a girl or a lady in that pace group who was looked like she was going to end up shaving 20 minutes off of her previous marathon time being with that pace group, so it was really cool. And I wasn't going to leave them at that point, and I was just in a zone where we just kept on running. There was no walking at all. Just kept on running.
Just killing, man.
All right.
Do work.
Mile 25, 426.30. 426.30. 25 miles. Still with the 440 group. On a downhill slide. You guys in the pacer group told us to go ahead if we felt like it, so I did. I think I can see the digital clock at the finish line now. Yeah, not far. Wow.
There you go, finishers. Bring it on home. J.D. Smith, Ronald Starkey,
and just like that, marathon was over. Like it always is. You feel like it's going to be the longest thing ever, and you get to the finish line, and it's just a blur. Of course, the announcer completely butchered my last name coming through there. That's why I left that clip in. He just completely killed it. It would have been cool if you just said Dave from Ashland, Virginia. That would have been really neat. But I'm so glad it was over at that point. But I missed my wife at the finish. She had already gone inside the convention center, which is where everybody was, to visit with Sandy and others, which was fine. Earlier in the on the course, I did. She had gone to breakfast at this place across town. Had taken an Uber over there, and it was along the course, so she was looking for me. I guess because she could track the chip on the app, which was really neat. And then she came out and really surprised me, and I thought it was really cool. But it was no big deal not having her at the finish. So I got directed inside, completely forgot about getting a group picture with the pace group, which is what the pacers had asked for when they sent us up ahead. They said, just wait for us at the finish and we'll get a picture. And I just, they were directing everybody inside. And after they gave me the big medal, which was freaking heavy, I think 3 pounds, that's pretty heavy for something hanging around your neck. I just went inside and completely forgot. I ran into Ryan later and apologized to him. But Sandy was finished, and somebody had gotten her a cake, and then we sat and visited with her. And it was a little cool inside the convention center, but we visited for a little while then and just planned to meet up later. And it was really cool. We ended up meeting at a whiskey bar later, and it was Mary and Amy who greeted us. And while we were at that whiskey bar, we ended up running into, I think his name was Randy Woodward, and this was the guy that carries a large American flag when he runs marathons, and I think his goal is to do all 50 states while carrying the flag. He was wounded. He was he had fought overseas, and he had become wounded, and then he had actually, I guess he was told he wouldn't be able to run again, but he does, and he was there. We got to talk with him, and he shared his story, and it was a real honor to talk with him. And then we took a picture with him after when he left, because he's from Nashville and he was driving back. Just the whole weekend was great. Hanging out after the race, just talking about it. Monica and I rode these Lime scooters repeatedly that are left around the city, and we rode across the river where we weren't really supposed to, but we did. We also toured the USS Razorback, which is a submarine that is anchored right there in the Arkansas River. It's a World War II era that actually was one of the submarines that was in Tokyo Bay when Japan surrendered at the end of the Second World War. That was really cool. I had never been on a real submarine before, and I've always been interested in them. I've read a lot of books about them, and seen watched any movies that are about them. I just like the whole dynamic of something so small. As a matter of fact, my cousin's son was a commander on a submarine in the Navy, but he's not in the Navy anymore. But anyway, we did some other things other than just sit in the hotel room and watch TV, although that was very enjoyable too, just relaxing a little bit in between activities. We got down there on a Friday morning and left on a Monday afternoon, so we had plenty of time to do some stuff around Arkansas and just walk around. Everything was walkable. Everywhere we went was walkable. Or we could take those little scooters. But the problem with the scooters after the race was that I didn't have gloves anymore. And so it got on Monday morning, it was so cold and windy. It was a wind chill. The TV said perceived temperatures with the wind chill at 7 degrees. So even walking outside was pretty bad. And riding the scooters was very difficult because it was so cold. But then we heard that they're going to be taking the scooters away because the city doesn't like them, because they're not safe or something like that. Those things move along, and we had a good time. And it's my understanding they're going to be coming to the city of Richmond. So Monica and I will definitely go down there and scooter around in the city. That'll be a lot of fun. It sure beats walking if you're just trying to get from point A to point B, that's for sure. Got a huge email bag this time. This is going to take a little bit to go through, but some of the emails are really good, so make sure you stick around for that. But before I move on from this marathon, I wanted to share some stats from Sandy in reference to this whole 50-state effort. And so this is the 50 States Marathon Club. You can join that after you've got 10 states. So after you do 10 states, you're going to be moving on. You can actually join the club and then start having access to some of their resources, I guess. Now, I've got 8, so I plan to do 2 more, and then I'm going to join that club. And I think what I'm going to do, regardless of whether I finish the 100-mile coming up in April or not, I am going to move to trying to do a marathon in each state and see how long that takes. But I'm not going to rush it or anything. And I got clearance from the wife where we can start taking some trips. So according to Sandy, she looked up some information. I wanted to share this with y'all before I go to the email bag section of the show, because it's really, really interesting how few people have done this in a country early of, you know, 320 million people. So the 50 States Marathon Club has a category called certified, which means you have to prove to them by race results that you've finished each one of the 50 states, and that one of the club members checks it for accuracy. There's also an uncertified category, and this is because back in the 80s, most people were uncertified in this club. It was hard to get race results printed up back then, and you probably can't access them now since there's no internet. It was no internet. And I'll give an example. The Richmond Newspaper's Marathon, it used to be called that. The results were just posted in the newspaper. So if you didn't save that newspaper with your name in it, then you wouldn't have that result. And what they do now is they don't even print everybody's name. They only print it up, I think, to a certain time or something. So she goes on to say, most people that are finishing currently seem to have their certified. Sandy's is certified. So overall in the club, there are 1,488 people who have finished a marathon in all 50 states. That's the mix of certified and uncertified. She said, also interesting is a fellow named Wally Herman from Canada was the first person to do this in 1983. Sandy met a guy at the race named Steve Fuller. He was the first U.S. citizen to finish, and that was in 1986. So this is relatively, I guess, a new thing. So she is the 1,488th finisher overall, the 556th female finisher. Out of those, 482 are certified. And then as far as state demographics, she's only the 44th person in Michigan to finish the 50 states, which is just remarkable. And then she said when he divided up into females from Michigan, she's the 19th female in Michigan to finish. Okay, certified. I lost that. She says that the highest number of people. The last thing that she shared, which was really cool, is that apparently she's only the second person to finish all 50 states at the Little Rock Marathon. I am guessing a lot of people might do it in Hawaii. I'm not sure. But Sandy is done. I'm not sure what she's going to move on to next. I'm sure it's going to be something really cool. However, congratulations to you, Sandy. Thanks for letting Monica and I be part of it. It was really cool. I can't believe you've done all 50 states. It seems like just yesterday that you started on this since we've been in contact. And I was glad to be down there. I wish I could have caught up to you and crossed the finish line with you, but that just wasn't possible. My physical ability wouldn't have gotten me there. So let's check out the email bag section of the show, see if you've checked in. All right, heard from Keith. And Keith said he wonders if there's anyone who's run over 5 hours who's not slipped into La La Land at some point, referencing my going off the course at the Lake to Light 50. And he mentioned Jim Walmsley at Western States last year. He suggested trying O'Keefe's Healthy Feet for the Feet, and suggested that I reconsider the use of gels. And he had 2 interesting products that provide energy without the insulin spike from gels. One is called You Can, the R. Other is Martin, MAURTEN. He said both have been used by record-setting long-distance runners, have great info on their websites. Best of luck on your 100 training. So he sent me these products here. Looks like You Can energy powders deliver a slow release of carbohydrates to steady your blood sugar, give you sustained energy for athletic performance and workouts. And then they have energy bars as well. I'm going to save this, Keith, and I'm going to check to see how much that stuff costs. That seems like that would be a lot better than the gels, although sometimes the gels would just hit at the perfect time. But I appreciate the email. That is Keith Mason out of Texas, I believe. Yeah. So heard from Alex. Yep, he said wants to know he did the Black Canyon 100K, which I think was his fourth 100K. Very nice, Alex. I think I've got another email from you. Check that one here. Yeah, his third one. He said he's on cloud nine. 16 hours, 36 minutes. This was the Black Canyon 100K. He got a 100K belt buckle. He said there was a little bit of weather issue. Race got rerouted because the river crossing was unsafe. And so he's going to drink a few beers. So third 100K, I've done one of those, Alex. I would like to do another one again sometime. But for me, it has to be kind of the perfect storm because I just can't do a trail 100K. I couldn't even do a trail 50K up in the mountains. So I really need to give that some more thought. Heard from Dr. Smitty. He's having some knee issues. Going to have scope surgery, torn meniscus. There's a piece of cartilage that's floating in the knee joint and he gets caught and rubs every time he takes a step. So that sounds like that's pretty darn painful. So he is out of commission for a little bit, hoping to get back after the surgery. And keep me posted, Dr. Smith. I know we've exchanged some emails on the side, but always good to hear from you for the podcast. I'm very appreciative of your friendship and the communication. Heard from Tim. Tim is out of Chattanooga, and he says, I'm a beast running a 50 and 100. Well, I haven't done 100 yet. I'm going to attempt it. Like I said in my email, I'm going to attempt on that. He didn't think it would matter that I took a wrong turn because I did the distance. But it's nice to hear from Tim. I appreciate you still listening to the podcast. Tim is one of the few people that actually has used the audio feedback on the website. If you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and you scroll down and look all the way to the right side of the screen, you'll see a little yellow button. Tim is, I think, one of two people that have ever used that. And what you do is you scroll down. Oh, it's not yellow. It's gray. It just says send voicemail. You click on that. You can record or re-record or delete an audio message to me, and I'll put that in the podcast. If you keep it a minute or less, it's a lot easier to edit. And I will include that in the podcast if you're so interested. And Tim is one of the few people that have done that. And Tim, I appreciate you checking in. And, of course, always appreciate that you listen to the podcast. I heard from Thomas. Thomas is the finisher of several hundred milers. But he's made five attempts at the Umstead 100, two finishes, three drops. He did two 50-mile races and 100K on the same course. And the other time he was in Sydney, Australia. He was just talking about a couple times. What he did was that he went to Sydney, Australia. The half marathon was sold out. So then he did something he regretted later. A friend entered but was not going to run. He wore her bib number but not the chip, and that day ran a half marathon personal record of 137. However, it's never going to be considered an official race because he was running wearing someone else's bib. Very interesting. Another time he said he did a race called the Kentucky Arches and got bad, really lost. He ran around for 8 hours not knowing where he was. He said when he saw Daniel Boone's cabin a second time, he knew it was screwed, and that was near the first checkpoint. So he backtracked to the start and then dropped out of the race. Interesting. He's always got some interesting insight. Of course, I always whenever Thomas sends me an email, I always ponder what he says. And he said he doesn't really know how he did the 100 miler looking back. He said some sort of spirit has left his body because he doesn't think he has that capability any longer. It's just so crazy in the moment. I stand corrected. He said he's looked back. He says he sees 9 100-mile finishes. He thinks of all those long hours. But right now, he's not sure if he could even do a 50K again. So Thomas has got, he's a professor at Appalachian State University, and I got my good friend Rob's son goes there. I guess I think he's graduating this year. So, Thomas, always appreciate hearing from you. Thomas is the person I almost met at the Charlotte Ultra some years back. I remember seeing him there because I remember the guy he was running with. And it's interesting that he listens to the podcast and we just never made that connection. It was just kind of interesting. Let's see. So I heard from Down Under Dave. He heard the last podcast, loved especially the sound bites. He thought it was also the race director made a good decision to keep my finish as a legit one. And like I said in the last show, if I had got disqualified, I would certainly understand that. I'd be disappointed because I understand the importance. I was a race director myself for a 10K, and I had to disqualify one of the females that came through because she did not do the second loop, which was required. And she said, "Gosh, I really took a lot of time off my PR." I said, "Did you do the second loop?" She said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, you weren't listening to the pre-race instructions, and you didn't read any of the pre-race emails." So I would have understood had the race director not accepted mine. So, Dave, good to hear from you. Appreciate it very much. All right, Shelly. So Shelly sent me a picture of a guy's foot, which reminded her of when my feet fell apart at the North Face 50 mile or some years ago. I've never had that trouble again. So Shelly, who lives up in Canksburg, Pennsylvania, I had to send her some of the pictures from my foot. These are some of the worst. This is one of the worst foot injuries that's not a maiming that you can see, and you can just see how painful and raw the skin is. I'll share that with anybody who wants to send me an email at ashanddave@gmail.com. And Shelly, sorry I had to send that to you, but she showed me a picture out of Runner's World of a guy's foot that he loses his shoe and he got a gruesome injury on his way to finishing the championship 3K. And it was on a track, and he shows a picture, and it's just his foot is just completely ripped. And I share that pain because mine was very similar. So I offer those pictures to anyone that wants them, ashanddave@gmail.com. I did not know my foot was that bad until I took my shoes off, and the guy at the aid station tent went, "Holy shit." And that's when I was like, "Man, am I going to have to get skin grafts off my backside to fix this?" I got a little scared. That's all in a podcast from way back. I'd have to look that one up. So Shelly, I appreciate that. Always good to hear from you, and I appreciate you supporting the podcast. I think that's everybody. I've got, if you want to email me at Ashland Dave, you just send it to ashlanddave@gmail.com. I do like feedback about the show, and if you have any suggestions or things that you do like, I would like to set up, Sandy, if you're listening, I would like to set up an interview with you and try to do that through Skype or something where we can talk about your 50 state effort and some of the highlights. I know you've told me some of those things, but I think people could really benefit from that. And then you can explain how the Mainly Marathons program works, where you can get several marathons in several days, and how those races work on loop courses or if they're badass events or whatever. I'm kind of curious to learn more about that and how you use those to get your 50-state goal. So that's it for this episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave. I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week. Thanks for listening.